wrestling fans, and welcome to a brand new episode of the Squared Circle Society. I am Daniel Schoen, joined as always by Todd Loya, Ozzy B, and Bob Magana. Gentlemen, how goes it?
Doing fantastic.
Well. Yeah, it's a big welcome back to Ozzy to the show. And yes. and I guess Bob's back too, at least for today.
Bob is
it's
back.
The return show.
I'm here every other 2 weeks, right?
Yeah.
Almost like a paycheck.
Almost.
But not as exciting.
He was inspired by Herb Abrams. I think that's like everybody's favorite wrestling personality right now. So there's nothing much going on with live wrestling. So yeah, we're all nostalgic for
cocaine.
Yes, I do. I watched Money in the Bank. And you want to call that wrestling? I watched it. I mean, I did watch it.
Me and Dan flip spots. It's funny.
Yes, we kind of did. We kind of did. But I think fans will be coming back soon-ish. So
that's what I'm out.
When?
Well, I mean, they supposedly that 25% thing is coming in the next month, right? Or at least they can.
Dan's being
what 25% capacity.
Oh. Bob, up your volume.
God damn it.
All
I have to say is wrestling still sucks. When Chris Farley is like fucking main eventing shit,
hey, Bob, they were trying to show that the trickle-down effect works.
Trickle-down what? The fucking sweat
that's
off
the case,
his nipple?
No, that's how the case came down. It's a trickle-down.
Trickle-down economics, I guess.
Exactly.
Would it not, if we were still doing the Raw special guest host era, would that not be funny as shit having David Spade doing segments with Otis?
I thought you were going to say Chris Farley, and I was like, dude, that fucker's dead.
Oh, Jesus, really? You're gonna make me cry on camera.
My question is, who would play David Spade if they actually did a Chris Farley David Spade tag team?
Like, and Otis was the Chris Farley.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Oh,
that's bring him back,
dude.
No, but are you looking like they're the Tommy Boy kind of chemistry? Where
yes, exactly, totally that chemistry.
Yeah,
can Drake pull that kind of sarcastic
character wise? He's awesome. He's a great character.
I get what you're saying, though.
Can't you imagine?
Also has a look. So when he delivers it, it's like
yeah.
I mean, it's funny, but not saying. Whereas, Police Academy 4 is like first time I saw David Spade, right? And you know why they casted him in that? Like he's that perfect punk. You know, like he has the tone in his voice and the delivery and the look just comes together. And if there was like a wrestling personality that has that.
I want to see Otis crash 205 live and do the fat man in the little coat routine. That would be awesome.
Except the problem is that he seems to randomly hear things every 10 seconds. I'll demonstrate. Excuse me.
Ozzy, you can't hear us. Ozzy's a stupid idiot.
That's Otis every week.
Yeah, I
know. Otis, there's nobody here.
Do you think he'll get the belt? Does anybody think that's even a possibility?
Okay, so what? Now let's analyze the question you just asked. For that to happen anytime soon, it would be either A, excuse me, Braun Strowman. So you imagine the two of them, you know, facing each other, which I think is probably going to happen sooner rather than later, because I don't think they want him to hold on to that briefcase for very long. And
I'm surprised he can hold on to it with his Tyrannosaurus Rex arms.
Supposedly, that's why they couldn't have him grab the suitcase.
Climb the ladder.
Yeah, well, they said he literally can't reach his arms. So that's legit. I think he was on.
That sounds Lee like
Garcia's some... podcast.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it's legit.
I think something along the lines of he couldn't go high enough.
Oh, I know what it fucking was, because it was at WWE headquarters. They had to go by OSHA rules, and I'm pretty sure those ladders cannot support that weight.
He stepped on the first rung and it broke.
But like, they don't have any ladders that could hold. What is he like? 400? 350?
No, low threes.
Yeah. I used to be 335.
Yeah, same here. That fucker's up there.
He's got to be 400. I'm going to look this up right now. We're going to get to the bottom of this.
I'm going to put him at about 320. He's
like, I got a computer. No. I can check this shit out.
Dan, I used to be 335. There's no way he's 320.
Ozzy, pull up a picture of what you used to look like, too.
I don't think I have one. I'll try to find it.
I didn't know you back then, so I can't. But
no, he's definitely more than 320.
Okay. I mean, he's a solid dude, but
I mean, Tony raises half a metric ton, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. This is the biggest load of bullshit I've ever seen.
I'm right, aren't I?
Motherfucker.
No, they gimmick the weights.
No way. Though. They got to gimmick the weights.
They do. Weights and heights still get gimmicked.
Usually.
What I'm looking at right now. I'm going to look. Okay. I'm going to go to the.
As long as Crash and Hardcore have their, like, you know. Record still intact, I'm cool.
I think it's fair to search pre-weight WWE.
Yeah.
If they have it, yeah.
I was going to say, imagine trying to carry that casket out, Bob, for Crash.
Oh, damn. Depressing.
The gimmicked weight is 330 pounds.
Okay.
There's no fucking way. He was 330 when he got like freaking tackled by the security guard in that. Did you guys hear the story?
Yes.
He was like 10 years old. And he started running up to what's her name, and then the security tackled him.
Trish.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they did that because they thought he was a grown ass man.
Uh-huh. Fucked up.
He looked at her like he looks at Mandy now.
He was going to sue, and he's like, I won't sue if you give me the money in the bank briefcase. And it's been a long con.
I'm still waiting, that's crazy. Match.
What's crazy?
To think someone's 300, so that, because when I was searching just this, all that was popping up is like, watch Otis bench press, you know, this much weight. And I'm like, let's see. Otis Dovich Breads is 225 pounds for 46 repetitions at the NXT Combine. So for somebody to be that strong and weigh that much, the appearance doesn't, like, something. It, like, I don't know. It doesn't. Yeah, I don't know. I'm not a medical person, professional, but.
But you know he should be fatter than what they're billing him as.
But they usually bill up. They don't usually, you know, Andre wasn't 7'5".
Unless they're pushing a gimmick.
Maybe. He's also short, though, too. I mean,
they go the other way sometimes if they don't want them. It can go either way. So
he's a legit 300.
Heights are always up.
What are you billed as, Todd?
Half a metric ton.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, he is. Let's be real though. If there were a crowd at Money in the Bank, would he not have gotten the biggest pop out of anybody for getting that briefcase?
I think the pop would have been pretty big.
Yeah, would have been bigger than anybody else there winning it. And since you guys weren't on, all right, if we're going to imply somebody getting thrown off a roof, why didn't we have an old stunt gimmick, like cut to a stunt of the guy like flying and then landing on a car or something? They could have pulled that off. I don't know. The way they did it, it was just the most, okay, Ray's dead. Aleister Black's dead.
And I was like, wait, dead. So Baron Corbin's now wanted for murder?
Like, he is. Tied Benoit.
Unfortunately, no. They threw him on a 6-foot thing, so they survived.
Kayfabe, motherfucker.
No, Baron Corbin said in his promo.
Todd would have popped if, like, Ray, like, and they did an old school stunt of the, and then he, like, crashes onto a car.
They should have just cut to the Sting footage of him falling off the WCW Titantron.
There you go.
That is blasphemy, Bob. WCW what? Did not have a Titantron.
Okay. The Turnertron.
There you go.
Okay. That better?
Yeah.
I still think if you were going to go that batshit, that whole Money in the Bank could have been funnier. I mean, we get that ridiculous Doink cameo. And what was with Rey Mysterio and that bizarre homoerotic moment he had with Brother Love?
That wasn't even Doink, though. That was like some crackhead in fucking right. Doink makeup.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. which we talked about all this last week. But.
And okay. I was like, oh, great. Are we going to see great or fake Nash and fake?
Dude.
That would have been funny.
One of them's dead, so
Bank calls in heaven now. But yeah. That would have been funny, Glenn, having a Kane just in like diesel gear walking around.
No, floor one is Isaac Yankum. Floor two is Diesel.
Yes.
Floor three is Kane. And then wait, early Kane. Top floor is like Mayor Kane.
Harper Kane.
Yes.
Well, you brought up Isaac Yankum real quick. Did you guys see the tweet by Mick Foley where he makes the heartfelt announcement that Britt Baker is the now best dentist in wrestling, and he apologizes to Isaac Yankum? Yeah.
What if he pulled a Foley and he was actually in the Money in the Bank, and we kill like all of his past characters, and then Kane pulls down the briefcase? Or no, Mayor Kane pulls down the briefcase. Boom. One last run.
I think there'd be one person that pops, and that would be Bugs.
Each one dies somehow. Like, we get, like, the Hans Gruber moment.
I think if we get one more one last run gimmick, WWE's going to change to ORL. Damn it.
You did. I was gonna no sell it.
Well, I don't know enough to it's like that doesn't sound right.
That's why I gotta write things down.
Know enough to put letters in the proper order.
How about this? We have the OLR championship instead of, you know, I'm here to challenge for the OLR championship instead of them having a 15-minute speech about this is one last run.
Yeah.
Oh, sweet. Cool. We saved 15 minutes. Awesome.
Yeah.
I wish we would have saved 15 minutes with you not talking about that joke.
So, Dan, what are we here for today?
All right. Yes, I know we were recapping there, but they weren't on the show. So, all right. So, we are talking Dark Side of the Ring, Cocaine and Cowboy Boots, the story of Herb Abrams and the UWF. All right, so I've got to ask first before we get into the episode, does anybody here remember UWF? I guess, Todd, you'd probably be the oldest. Did you watch it?
I didn't really watch it. I know of it, but I was, I don't know where to watch it. I didn't know where to watch it.
Did Bella want to make a comment about the UWF?
Yeah.
She got booked for the reunion of it.
Well, I muted it so you would stop hearing. So.
No, she heard about Herb Abrams and, you know, knew that we were going to talk about bitches soon. She just wanted to get her first.
Yes, he's, you know, big B. Brian Blair fan. Bella, you know, good taste.
I love anytime I hear Brian Blair now, it's just Iron Sheik I hear in my head. It's the best thing in the world. I'm so thankful that I'm programmed to that, because every time he popped on, I thought of the Sheik, and it was just so, like, I'm sorry, not to be confused, obviously, but you know what I'm talking about. Oh, man. Motherfucker.
His partner I respect, but not that motherfucker.
Piece of shit.
So who did they all talk to in this episode? Because obviously, like I said before, I didn't watch it.
Mm-hmm.
But it sounds fucking amazing now, and I want to watch it.
Well, if you're going to watch one...
Mick Foley. Mick Foley was, I think, the only one that... Because there is a few others in terms of, like, who they actually sat down and spoke with. Like, there's a guy from NBC. Like, a lot of... I mean, maybe I'm missing something. Dan? Todd?
The best line in the whole episode was from Brian Blair, who just said, is like, he died doing the two things he loved most, cocaine and hookers. And that's how the episode basically ends. Spoiler alert.
But he doesn't, but there's no, and what makes it great is complete straight face. Like, the delivery on it was like, he meant that as a heartfelt, like, it's really sad. Cocaine and hookers. And I'm like, that is such a brilliant, like, that, yeah, no, that's funny. That's funny. Like, there should be fuck Tiger King. I want to see a movie about this guy. And that's how the fucking thing ends. And it's one of those Judd Apatow movies. That'd be funny as shit.
Well, starting from the beginning, this does kind of talk about the wrestling scene at the time. WWF, obviously, at that point, pretty much murdering everybody. Everyone's on the ropes, so to speak. And in 1990, Herb Abrams rises up to take on WWF. And they talk a little bit to this wrestling historian, I believe John Arezzi was his name, who ran some of, like, the early pro wrestling conventions, which is actually cool because there's actual footage of, like, pre-fame Mick Foley at these wrestling conventions, which I thought was pretty neat. And he sort of started to promote this, you know, this new league, which, of course, everybody was kind of skeptical about, definitely still in the Carney era. And he started to actually bring people on board. Bruno Sammartino, Mr. Wonderful Paul Orndorff, who was a huge draw coming off of his WWF run at that point. And he actually started to kind of put stuff together.
Well, you totally glossed over his biggest acquisition, and that was the late Bruiser Brody.
Yes, who was dead. He promised Bruiser Brody was going to be a part of the roster, and this is 1 year after Bruiser Brody was murdered.
Yeah, that's pretty important. Yeah.
This sounds like he came, this is the guy that trained Mr. California, or what?
Quite possibly.
Oh, wow.
That's funny.
Yeah, no, it was, like, insane, and I can't remember who gave – I think it was that Colonel guy, but he's like, But Bruiser Brody been dead for 1 year.
And also had promised that, Black Jack Mulligan is the booker who had been in jail at the time.
Yes. Yes.
So
everything
was
about
really
it.
Excited.
Everything about it was just so funny. And then, like, he was almost, I don't know if you guys are, I know Todd is, aware of The Room. And the director of The Room, where nobody knew where his money came from. And
apparently, with Tommy Wiseau?
Wiseau, yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So nobody, if you, like, Google him, I think even to this day, it's like nobody knows, like, anything about
this. He just lost the lawsuit with this company that, can you, can't hear me again? God damn it.
Yeah. No, we hear you.
You're too far back. You're like,
yeah, I get so comfortable. Like, yeah, cool. I get so comfortable, you know?
Yeah, you're playing with me.
Like, you just, know, Bob, and just hold your mic. If you want to lean back.
No. I mean, I got this thing. I guess I could just move it closer to me, but he just lost a let's move these around.
You have it in front of your face, though, you know. That might actually do us some good.
Anyway, but he just lost a lawsuit with a company that was doing a documentary about the movie, and they released all his details.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and that's okay. What he was trying to get it, so they couldn't release all that, but the judge was like, no, they can do what the fuck they want. So we're going to find out who the fuck this guy is.
Yeah, because it's like...
Why are we gonna, and why don't we already?
Because he's so secretive.
Nobody knows.
Okay, so you said that the judge ruled in favor of the company that they could release all these details, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When was that?
Like, well, the documentary the last couple weeks.
The documentary is not out yet. They're gonna wait.
Oh, I see. So they're making a documentary about him.
They made a documentary about him, and he was trying to block it. They made it.
Yeah.
They made it. Okay. Yes. Do we know when the release date is on this?
They're probably going to come out with it soon because, like I said, just the last couple of weeks is when this all finally.
Yeah, I was going to say anytime, probably. And even that disaster artist. Even that disaster artist movie doesn't get into his past.
I'll check.
But so the word with Herb Abrams was that he had his money from a women's BBW clothing line. So there's,
Sean Black is like excited right now.
The name of the store is no joke. Was I'm a big girl now.
Yeah.
That was the name of the store.
Yeah, wow. I don't know if that was confirmed or not, but I guess that's where it sort of came from.
Oh, wow.
Of all the stuff that they could have lied about, I doubt that they lied about the name of the store.
I've said this before. But you know the song It's Raining Men by the Weather Girls?
Yeah.
They used to be called Two Tons of Fun. There were two big black ladies.
You know what I hate? Here's what I really, and you know, the flesh wound audience out there watching this out there, what really pisses me off is that, if I could just interject here, when you say that song, it's when I host trivia, and it's me and a whole bunch of male waiters, and people will play that song, and it's so annoying because it's like old ladies.
Is that what and you're the it? Only men there? Did you go, hey, ladies, do you want me to rain on you?
I looked it up, Bob.
Okay,
it is called Room Full of Spoons.
There you go.
I didn't mention this. Tommy Wiseau was forced to pay nearly $700,000 to the directors.
Okay. Does it say a release date?
It does. No, not yet, but they'll probably start figuring it out now.
They'll fast track that because it's obviously done. So,
especially with the COVID, people are going to want to watch something like that right now.
That could be the next Tiger King.
Could be. It very well could be. I can imagine what's on that doc. Can you imagine if Herb Abrams took advantage of that and brought in like a female natural disasters type gimmick?
Oh, yeah.
That would have been awesome. You didn't really have that yet.
Two tons of fun. There you go.
And then you come out to It's Raining Men. Damn. And then Ozzy will be up there.
He could be like the Slick. Just come down there dancing with them. Or Harvey Whippleman. There you go.
Harvey Whippleman. Harvey Whippleman.
Ozzy is more of a Harvey Whippleman.
There you go.
What the? Why? I have nothing to do with this bullshit. What the fuck?
When was the last time we saw Harvey Whippleman on programming? Like,
wait,
in a real story?
Could you say that again?
I know.
Whippleman in a real story would have been when he won the women's.
Yeah, yeah. Title, right? Can you just, Bob? Dan. Can you say his name?
Harvey Whippleman.
Okay.
I think Todd and I heard you call him Whippleman.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry if I did. Like, I give a fuck about his dweeb little
ass. No, I just wanted to hear it a second time.
We stopped being compared to be him.
Kiss hey, he ass, motherfucker.
He was under contract for many, many years. So, I think he was, like, just carrying bags at one point. But, when he won the women's title, I think was the last real.
He needs to come back and do it again.
Oh.
The James Ellsworth could challenge him
24/7.
Oh, that would get some heat. That would be good, actually. But yeah, no, I mean, the thing about UWF at the beginning, he did have star power. I mean, he had Dr. Death, Mr. Wonderful, names at that point were pretty big. You know, Bruno on there, so certainly.
Andre the Giant.
Yeah, got Andre in.
Yeah, but that was the peak, because it says that after, like, shortly after that event, McMahon got him back.
Yeah.
Yes.
Vince so closed that down. Based on what I saw, it seemed like that's when things went downhill, is after they lost Andre. Because thinking, if like I was in, if I had as much access to wrestling as I at the time as I do now, I would think like, wow, so here they went, like, oh, look at who we got. And then next week or whatever shows up on WWF, it's like, well, so much for that guy. Like, I would turn off at that point. I would think it's not, they're probably going to fold soon.
It was a different time, because I have watched some UWF footage, and I mean, this one, it's not all negative. Oh, we lost Todd. This one's not all negative. It really isn't. I mean, they do kind of highlight some of the good that he had going. His big issue is he really didn't have any true plans. He had balls. I mean, the fact that he actually had that meeting with Vince McMahon and wanted to like cut a deal with him, so like he'd have
how much of that was balls and not just the
cocaine? Yeah, and I'm hookers. Sure that factored in. And hookers.
Oh, well, no, I just got involved in the decision to call Vince. I don't think a hooker said, you know, you should call Vince McMahon.
No, but I, yes, in his
head, it happened. They were sitting there in bed after he fucking paid her, and she was playing with his hair. And he's like, did you call Vince?
I mean, that I think in his own head, he really believed that he was going to take out WWF. In his own head, I think he believed it. He believed UWF was going to be the creme de la creme and at the top of the mountain. And you have to believe that if you're going to be successful. But just rewinding a little bit.
But so it says that he makes that call with McMahon, and in the proposal, he says to McMahon, you can run the middle America and the East Coast, and I'll just promote West Coast. And Vince turned him down.
Yeah.
What if Vince accepted that deal? Would they have been able to grow out of California? I mean, based on this guy, I don't think that would have worked. I think it would have been a drought in live wrestling, like in major wrestling for outside of Southern California in the West Coast. And Vince would just like, it would be like Lenin in the Soviet Union against the World War One. Like, no, go ahead. Good luck. You know, it's probably what would have happened.
It was an interesting time because, I mean, you were obviously a few years away from things changing dramatically. I've known some guys that actually, you know, worked, you know, the indies and stuff at that time. And there were a lot of hanger-ons from ages, like, that were ancient at that point, still kind of holding on. I think Herb Abrams, I think he would have changed with the times somewhat. I mean, they kind of give him shit for making himself a character, but Vince did that, and it was the hottest feud.
Yeah, but that wasn't.
And now we can't get rid of it.
Yeah,
I know. Everyone, doesn't matter who they are.
The thing with Vince it was more forced with Vince, because that happened out of what occurred with Brett. Like, that's what made him the heel, Mr. McMahon.
Yeah.
Without that, I don't know if it would have been as direct or as forced as it is now. Still.
But remember,
I understand that, but I think it eventually, like, in the nature of things, that kind of feud would have to happen. If you think about every time there's a new contract negotiations between a league and a sports union, it's always like it takes forever, right? And sometimes there's strikes. So in an environment like professional wrestling, it would make sense that at one point the owner is like, you know what? I'm sick and tired of your shit. Now I want to kick your ass. Like, so when I see it happen, it makes sense. But at the same time, to make the call that he would be that guy to do it. Whereas so many people make a general manager character to be that person, that authority figure. And yeah, like the authority figure is overplayed, but at the same time, like the NFL, the NBA, Major League Baseball, everybody has commissioners.
Mm-hmm.
UFC has Dana White. Everybody's got somebody. So instead of making it real life, you might as well just give it to somebody else so that way you can really figure out stuff. The only problem is that you need that authority figure to actually be genuine, which has been the problem. Because lately the people like that's a whole nother thing.
I just hate authority figures who come out with their own theme music. I don't get that.
Especially when they don't like it at first.
But man, I thought it was hilarious, and I'll be honest, I didn't remember any of this, but the fact that he did superstar cookies to make
yes.
The Herbie cookies, I think, was his own.
He had his own cookie, the Herbie.
Yeah.
And Steve Ray was oatmeal. And that's like, could you imagine being the worker? It's like, I got fucking oatmeal? What the fuck? Why do I get oatmeal?
Is it frosted oatmeal, though?
He said he believed in me. If it's frosted, it would say frosted oatmeal.
Okay.
Not oatmeal with frosting.
Oatmeal is fucking amazing.
But it said just oatmeal. But my favorite was Dr. Death Steve Williams with the pina colada cookie. Because you know, when I think of Dr. Death Steve Williams, I think of pina coladas.
Hey, Brian Blair was honey flavor.
Because of his older gimmick, that at least made sense.
See, it could have just been Dr. Death's peanut butter cookies.
That would have been better, at least, than fucking pina colada.
Here we go. I'm going to say some names, and then you guys got to come up with their cookie.
This sounds like fun.
So we'll go with like Kurt Angle.
No. He's like a white shortbread,
like a sugar cookie kind of.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Rios.
Snickerdoodle.
Snickerdoodle.
It'd be like one of those marzipan cookies.
There you go.
Like the ones that fall apart.
What was that, Oz?
Like a marble one?
Yeah.
Like they had sell at 7-Eleven, like the Brookie.
No. They're like the little Mexican ones. They're like circles, and they have like a rose on the top of them.
Yeah,
the little Mexican sweetbread. Oh, but they sell them at the bakeries. It's like they're actually cookies, but they got like the same Mexican sweetbread frosting just on the cookies.
Kind of.
So it's basically a plain cookie with frosting.
Well, when you say it like that, Mexicans don't sound cool.
I'm not saying it's not delicious. I get it sometimes.
Chili flavor.
French fries are just potatoes.
No, Chilean sweets are out of this world. They all have the thing. No, get the fuck out of here.
They're good.
Dulce de leche. You probably is the main ingredient.
Or whatever it was.
Shut your fucking mouth, you motherfucker.
Whoa. It was delicious.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, it
motherfucker.
Was.
Motherfucker. Jesus Christ.
It tasted like. I forget what it was.
It's like a better version of baklava.
It's flaky.
Like Ozzy. It's more rich. Like the filling or the sweet stuff in it. So did you need a glass of milk when you had it, Todd?
No. I'm not a milk guy.
Okay. You're only the third person I know that's had it and hasn't needed a glass of milk afterward.
No.
Who's what about BC Killer? When are we going to get the UEW cookies?
BC Killer would be
the Budweiser cookie.
It's a cookie with beer in it.
No, he'd be one of those cupcakes filled with liquor.
I was going to say like something red and thick, so it'd be like blood when you cut into it.
Red velvet?
A red velvet full of blood.
Red velvet cake is not a thing.
Okay.
Oh, how have we not talked? Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, Bob.
Yes.
What does the receipt? This is where they used to run at the Reseda Country Club.
I was just going to say that earlier. Didn't UWF run there?
That's mm-hmm. But that's what we're talking about. UWF ran a Reseda Country Club. What other famous promotion is notable for running their first show there? That's right.
XPW.
And
yeah,
also,
I saw it, Wrestling Regret on the UWF about a couple of years ago. And I remember they were mentioning the Reseda Country Club. I was like, XPW.
You want to hear something else? This is for Dan. The club in Boogie Nights was actually the Reseda Country Club.
Oh, no way. Shit. That's awesome.
See, wow. Dan gets more excited for that than XPW.
I literally heard his boner.
I was just going to say, I heard a thunk on the desk.
I thought about the moon for a second. I was like, what the fuck was that? It's like
you're going to be looking at the ceiling in a minute.
Maybe that's what Otis hears is Dan's random boners.
Dan got a boner.
Another
one. You just killed it since that's images in my head.
Another wrestling venue turned into a church.
Oh, wow.
What?
I got to watch Boogie Nights now.
All of them. I mean, LA Sports Arena.
Is that a church now?
It was. I don't know if it still is. It was like
It's a big thing. There's an LA Fitness a block away from the Anaheim Stadium that turned into Saddleback Church.
Oh, wow.
If that is not a gay church, I am going to be pissed.
Yeah, why didn't we turn the old building into a church? Next time.
Next time. Dude, we would have had such good crowds on Sundays.
Can you imagine a wrestling event in general, like in a church? Like you mean?
I wanted to.
What was it?
That's not really a church, I don't think.
Okay. What is it?
Casa de Mexicanos, yeah. LA, not Casa de Mexicanos, Santa Paula.
Ladder match, and you have to get the belt off Jesus.
Well, I was going to make him pop again. The one that he was talking about, the Casa de where LCW ran, that's where, wasn't it Beach Street? Or sorry, Electric Boogaloo, didn't they shoot there?
But I don't know, but
I'm sure that's where they shot.
A lot of places filmed there because that building is fucking cool.
I'm curious if maybe there is something that, like, there is a wrestling organization that called themselves a religion and their events would be referred to as masses so they wouldn't have to pay for taxes.
Verdun was looking into that. He was talking about looking into all that. Just, I'm pretty sure he,
because you could have the ring announcer as the pastor.
Ozzy just wants to be called Pastor Ozzy V. That's all the only reason why, huh? Pastor Ozzy V.
You want to wear the little white collar?
And then you could go down to your
that what I just did right now was the first time I've ever done anything like that. And what you just said was the first time I ever visualized anything like that at all.
Now that's all we want. Guarantee.
I'm thinking of Righteous Gemstones.
That's what he covered up in the back was his whole idea of how he's going to be Pastor Ozzy V. He's like, no one could see these notes.
He's preparing to take over the world.
Because no sane man would put up a Raiders blanket to hide stuff.
Is he going to pass out cookies covered in like Hellaware's blood? Just like,
no, I come out with a collection plate.
So you'd be Reverend Devon.
There he is.
Does that make Zane Deacon Batista?
I like that gimmick.
I have the chain around his neck.
I like
it. And on his chain would be his award.
There you go. Win-win.
I honestly do enjoy the Reverend Devon gimmick, Dan, too.
I
enjoyed it.
They could have gone. I mean, I'm not saying he would have won the world title or anything, but it would have been a good big
game. I like it better than Dancing Dudley, Dancing Bubba.
Are you sure you're just not thinking of the Blue Meanie?
Close enough.
But did you see that Devon officially retired?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's sad.
Too bad. But probably.
You think he fucked Stacy Keebler in the ass? Like, did the Dudleys, like, double teamer?
Yeah. Wow. See, this is what we can't talk about on Ozzy's show. Like, oh, we gotta be.
I was being nice.
That was a quiz question for Ozzy's show. I've been trying to get some ideas to pizzazz it up.
when he comes. Well, testify.
Because the gimmick is I play a song to give a hint as to what the answer is, but you asked a yes or no question.
Oh, so. You're, this is going to be a sensitive spot. He's going to be jealous of the other Bob.
Ozzy doesn't watch. He doesn't know what I talk shit about the other guy.
No.
Oh, wow.
Bob's jealous.
What? Huh? Oh.
It's funny. Do you notice in the ads you're on pretty much all of them, Bob?
Ever since you told me, I've been looking.
There was one I forgot, though.
I think that's why I cried for like 3 days. I was like, I guess. I think it was like literally the week after you told me. I was just like, guess I don't get to have fun anymore being Waldo.
You were on the Reservoir Dogs one. You're looking over the fence.
Jojo Rabbit. You had him in Jojo Rabbit, too.
Well, that was a different thing.
So. Yeah. All right.
Where were we at?
I don't know. UWF. Dan wants to
we got sidetracked because of cookies. And we then did. Bob was like, okay, I'm going to name people, and you guys guess their cookie.
And then my neighbor just said
BC
me.
Killer.
Dog,
and like,
I'll
that
talk
was it.
To you later.
UWF power line. What must that have been like? Were the hookers like the ones talking to you? Like, you know, I don't know, Marty Jannetty might be coming to UWF or something. Like, I feel like a coked up Herb Abrams was handling all those calls, because there couldn't have been any.
I mean, if he's fucking wanting cocaine and hookers, there's going to be bitches there, and they're going to be answering the phones. You know he had to have
I mean,
been
he paid him $2,000.
Just go answer the phone real quick.
$2,000, yeah. I'm going to say go answer.
This is for this, and this is for that.
They're like, anything you want, okay, go answer this phone, horse.
Think I paid for you for sex? No.
And then, so imagine who's the person that calls, and okay, so one of the hookers answers, and then what happens? How do you think that went?
I
think at least one person called. How do you think that phone call went?
Is Andre the Giant going to be at your show?
Wasn't Bruiser Brody dead?
Andre the fuck? I don't know who the fuck is Andre the Giant. I don't know this shit. I was paid to suck cock, not talk about wrestlers.
You know that's going to be a soundbite now, right?
Damn it!
Let's go to the
Bruiser Brody coming back from the dead to win the UWF title.
Oh,
I can't talk right now. Leave me alone.
Yeah.
I'm still noting the time.
But well, things really start to derail when they try their first pay-per-view, which was Beach Brawl in Palmetto, Florida. Again, this is where just not having a plan kind of hurt him. This was a massive arena. There was no way that they could fill it out. And sure enough, there were tons and tons of unused seats, and it just looked bad. That was definitely, I think, the point where there was no return for him. And Brian Blair's story of like going in because he wasn't paying people at this point and seeing him hand like $2,000 to each hooker. They each got $2,000. I mean, literally sitting right there. That's what he's coming to talk to him about.
And those, those hookers got more than your stimulus.
Yeah. Well, they did some stimulating.
And then he also had tons and tons of coke. Like at every opportunity, it seemed. I think that's also what probably did it.
He was living the dream, coke and hookers.
I like the story when the TV crew came in and he like had like the bank so they could hear it, like that he had like millions in the bank. And then he wrote them like a check from the bank account that he knew had nothing in it. It got pretty bad. I mean, then he starts getting paranoid. There was that story where he tries to pay the hookers with a check. And then the pimp comes in and he has to jump out the window naked. And I think it was Sunny Days that he had to like call literally while running naked down the middle of the street. And it's like, don't let them catch you, I guess. I don't know.
This does need to be made into a movie, no doubt, guys.
Oh, dude.
Damn, dude.
Yeah. The ostrich boots. When he starts telling Mick Foley how he has like this revolutionary idea everybody's going to flip out over, then he literally shows them these like these ostrich cowboy boots. It's like, people are going to love that, said UWF on them. Oh, yeah. He's like, this is the solve all our problems.
To explain this to other people, it's like when Dan showed us his hat for the first time.
Oh, he was on a 5-day coke bender telling us how great his hat is.
That's messed up.
Minus the coke. Although I would, I would,
come on, he needs some place to hide the coke.
I would pay money to see Dan on coke, though.
Next time he's out here,
I'll do some coke. I'll
make it happen. I won't. I can never do that again. I did it once, and I like sleeping too much.
Yeah, I was gonna say.
How many days?
I was only awake for one day, so it wasn't that bad.
But you knew I need to sleep, but you couldn't sleep.
When it was like 4 a.m. and I'm usually asleep because like I'm an old man. I go to bed pretty early usually. Uh-huh. It was like 4 a.m. and I was like, I need to go to my dad's.
How old are you?
Yeah, what was this last 36? Week?
36. They used to call me Old Man Magani in college. Leave me alone.
Well,
we can move on.
This was not also the last show because he really puts the nail in the coffin when he decides to do Blackjack Brawl live from Las Vegas at the MGM Grand. After WrestleMania 9, he thought this was the big thing that was going to save it. That was an even bigger disaster than before, and obviously coked up Herb Abrams at this point, like grabbing the mic and saying, let's hear it for the Jews.
Todd, how do we not have clips of these? I want to see video of him saying, let's,
because it's more entertaining when Dan has to say it.
And definitely with
and that way Todd could get the sound clip.
Still would be great.
But here's the thing, as we just get to the end of this journey with him, for all the people that probably did get fucked over to a certain extent, they obviously loved him. Like, you know, Sonny's on there talking about, I mean, actually crying towards the end. It's like he actually, you know, believed in me. Lenny, his partner, business partner, that I guess was kind of the manager of the business side of it. I don't know exactly, but you know, everybody loved this guy. He was a mess. And as we get to the end and they describe his death in 1996, even that, all they know was he did so much coke that he was buck naked, chasing hookers around with a baseball bat covered in Vaseline. And he was just swinging the bat at people. There are stories that a cop molested him with the bat. There's others that say he had a seizure and died in the cop car.
Hold on a second. He had also become so paranoid he literally tore up furniture looking for bugs.
Yeah.
Because he honestly believed there's microphones in there.
Yeah.
So I came up with a formula when it was Herb Abrams equal sign hookers plus coke plus charisma plus Tony Khan.
Yeah,
because I mean, I don't think you mentioned it, but to start off, nobody knew anything about him. He was just a wrestling fan with money.
Yeah. Money Mark.
So
yeah, I want to see a story now with Tony Khan like chasing hookers around with a baseball bat, and like Kenny Omega is like, I had to knock him out with the V trigger. He was out of control. I had no choice. It was for his own good.
Well, then AEW will be over for me.
Because they took your gimmick?
Yeah. And what did you think about the very end when the Colonel tells that story about a company running a UWF show?
Oh, my God. Later? What the fuck? Are we in some fucking Twilight Zone? The fact that got any time on this episode really makes me question who the fuck is running this thing.
Herb Abrams is
dead. Tell me that this guy faked his death And that, oh, he showed up at the show and he yelled that he was going to sue. You're going to tell me that no wrestling fan got the idea, I should dress up as Herb Abrams and say I'm going to sue everybody. You're telling me that not one motherfucker got that idea. You're an idiot if you think that's real. Jesus Christ.
Maybe he's living in the island somewhere with Carol Baskin's husband. You don't know. It's
possible. I know. I just had to let that out because when I heard that shit, I was like, get the fuck. How the fuck is this? I mean, this should be treated as parody. I mean, it's like what McFoley said. It's like, I find it unfeasible that he wouldn't be trying to find himself to be the center of attention and be hiding out somewhere. I don't believe that at all.
It was also worth mentioning. I've been waiting on this. Dan's like, why doesn't someone start it up again? Well, another on it was supposed to, or it kind of took place June 23rd, 2019. There was a promotion claiming to be the continuation of Herb Abrams' UWF, and it was also supposed to be Herb Abrams Jr., the son of the original promoter. The only problem was he never had kids. So
I don't know about that, though. Because with these $2,000 hookers, anything can happen.
A lot of hookers.
That gimmick is actually staying consistent.
It's true.
If you're covering yourself in Vaseline and swinging baseball bats at cops, you probably are wearing a rubber.
But, like, literally, everyone was warned because the promotion felt like a scam. The building felt like a scam. Everyone. Even.
Who said the guy isn't firing blanks?
What?
Who said? I mean, like, here's the thing. Like, if this guy's like, man, I'm just going to live a life with cookers. Hookers and cocaine.
Fluffle, man.
Like, why wouldn't he get snipped? If he's a multimillionaire, like, yeah. It just seems like. Before I do this, I'm going to take care of myself. I'm going to make sure I'm good.
How's the hooker going to know whose kid it is?
Also, the other thing, the other big problem with the name is his religion doesn't allow juniors. There's that.
I'm pretty sure his religion also doesn't allow hookers and cocaine.
Yeah, but you know how people are. They're selective.
We all are looking for that one religion, so what is out there?
And I can't remember. Yeah, it was great. Like a DJ Medina or DJ Anderson who was like the actual promoter. And he has a long history in San Diego of making false claims, promoting shows that don't happen, not paying wrestlers.
Was this the one that was supposed to take place in San Diego?
Yes. It was the UWF.
I remember that now.
And like Biggie Biggs was supposed to be on it.
Yeah, I remember that. Like everyone even showed up to the event.
Yeah.
Like they were at the venue. And then
just no fans showed up.
It didn't happen?
No, like, it was set to go, but no fan showed up, I believe it was.
I want to say B-Boy's promotion ended up taking, like...
They ran a show in... Yeah, that sounds...
The same day, right? Like, they're like, well, we got to do something.
Yeah.
I would say bring it back right now, though. Why not?
Well...
Bring it back. Bring back the Viking. They had the original Viking.
We even brought back. It's called AEW.
It's a little different.
Creative really. Freedom.
Money Mark.
Creative Freedom. In.
But is Khan not a little smarter? Well, number one, Khan's got legit deep pockets, though.
His daddy's got deep pockets.
And by proxy.
And that's why he doesn't have cookers. Oh.
No, Dan.
That's why
no,
he doesn't
Dan.
Have hookers and cocaine.
Because Jackie Chan's kids don't have his money.
Oh, okay. I'm waiting because AEW.
The only reason I say that as the only reason I say that is because the events are held at the same locations where Jacksonville plays their football games, which is owned by Shad Khan. That's why I say that.
Yes. I don't know. At some point he might pull a Dixie and, like, close the purse strings a little bit for him.
Oh, how I would pray for that to happen. Because I'm sure, look, you know, here's the thing. There's got to be a 5-year business plan. This guy, Shad Khan, is not just, like, he also owns an English football club. He's not just going to, like, there has to turn a profit at one point. Like, it's not going to be like WCW where they can go year after year without turning a profit. it has to get to a point like after three to five years, if it doesn't turn a profit, it's going to fold.
And they got this whole situation right now that's going against them.
It doesn't help at all.
No live events. They're losing millions.
That might actually give them some leeway. Mm-hmm. Like it might be like an extra couple years. Like they might get some slack. But for the most part, if it doesn't turn a profit, it's going to go away.
Is it though? Does it help them? Based that their ratings, I mean, they are often beating NXT right now, and you know, you can't really say they're failing per se. I mean, that could be I mean, it's not like Impact ever came close to touching WWE in any way. So
we haven't had any official numbers released yet, right?
No. Well, you have the TV ratings.
I mean, like money numbers.
No. No, I don't think so. They did say they are losing. I mean, even Khan, I think, admitted to it.
Shareholders will get updates every quarter.
Yeah.
Quarterly briefings, they happen. So the next one, so they had their first quarter briefing after March. So the second quarter briefing would come, I think, in July. So that would be where all the, like, that's where you hear how second quarter performed. And that's where it's going to be shit across the board.
Yeah, well, it has to be. Yeah. I mean, so it is what it is. I mean, they're hurting more. WWE live events are not where they're, and they're already, believe it or not, going to make huge profit this year. So it will be interesting. Yeah, but
I think everyone's taking a loss this year.
Well, not WWE. They're profitable even if they don't run another Saudi show. That was the why they were getting all that shit over releasing.
And they did also, they did also cut everybody. So they're
right.
Yeah, they're at least breaking even, maybe.
Yeah. Right. Oh no, they are making money. They've already.
They're not making money, but their profits are still going to be down compared to last year.
There you go.
I could be mistaken.
They're not making more money.
I believe they are forecast to make even more money than they did last year. Now, 2021 might be a different story at that point. Maybe you'll feel it more. But remember, those TV deals are huge. I don't know. It'll be interesting. AEW, I'm curious, the first round of cuts, when people stop looking at them as this wonderful like haven for pro wrestlers, that will be because they're going to have to – they signed way too many guys, several of which they shouldn't have. From the outset, and if they're going to want to bring in,
however, what are the terms of the deal? Because if the terms of the deal are like we pay you per event, and we our only requirement to book you is once per month or once per show, and who's to say that? Oh yeah, you're here for your month. You're going to be in the audience.
Yeah,
like they could have easily made it favorable to AEW so that they can have a massive roster. To get like a whole bunch of people. So when it comes down to when you would normally see like cuts, you may see, well, actually you won't see because it all take place backstage, but you might hear that people are taking pay cuts. That might be a thing before you see major cuts. So you'll hear about pay cuts before I think you'll hear about major cuts first.
My favorite thing about AEW is we're not like WWE. We're not like WWE. Oh, here's Mike Tyson.
How do you use Mike Tyson?
We are sports based wrestling. Oh, Vanguard One.
Right. How do you use Mike Tyson? I mean, like, what do you do with him in AEW that would be. I want to see Mike Tyson punch out Orange Cassidy, is what I want. I want him to do that little kick spot on him and then just.
Okay, yeah,
just bam. Like. Just a shoot punch right to the fucking jaw. That'd be
pretty funny.
He knocks out all of the stupid gimmicks.
That'd get picked up on ESPN.
Yeah. Yes. Imagine Cornette coming out with Mike Tyson and he just starts lighting up Jelly Janela.
And then you just have Cornette like, yeah, this motherfucker right here. Come here, bullshit cosplay ref just motherfucker.
Boom, 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 boom.
Oh, man. With his racket and everything. Oh, my gosh.
Okay, well, we'll close on Mike Tyson. Gentlemen, thanks for joining us. This was a great show, as always. We did not do Road Warriors because, as we were talking about before, there's not a lot to say about that episode. So it's like Todd put it, Hawk drank a lot and then he died.
Sad. You know, that, we're just gonna take put that reminds me of Dennis Leary's bit about why there's a movie about Jim Morrison. He's like, you don't need a movie about Jim Morrison. It's I'm drunk, I'm famous, I'm drunk, I'm now I'm fucking dead, or some bullshit like that. that's the movie.
Pretty much, yeah. So that one was a little lackluster, but Road Warriors rule. We're not snubbing them. Yeah. One of the greats. All right, guys, that's all I've got. Be sure to support us for uncensored and exclusive content on patreon.com/fleshwoundfeatures. Also, if you're listening to the audio version, you could be looking at us right now on the Flesh Wound Features YouTube page. Join the Horror Cartel Flesh Wound Radio Facebook group. Like the Flesh Wound Features Facebook page. And check out Flesh... What, Todd? Fleshwoundfeatures.com. No,
Can I say one thing before we leave?
Yes.
So, anybody out there listening via YouTube or whatever you're listening at, so... I have this idea that I want to, and we could do this actually, patreon.com/fleshwoundfeatures if you're looking for the specific address. Now, if you have any games that you want to just see on any screens, you want to hear some commentary to those games, you can send them to me and we'll see what happens on the Patreon.
Yeah.
All right. So leave a comment and that could be a thing.
Ooh, sorry, 2600 ET.
No, see, I was going to go with Back to the Future. For NES.
Fred Fox.
Oh, no, I meant actual games, not stupid, like bullshit, like fake games.
You played Back to the Future as a child. That is.
I know, and I remember it was fucking bullshit. It was the first time I ever said the word bullshit. It was because I played Back to the Future on the stupid Nintendo.
Nintendo is not stupid, sir.
See, and this is why you want this commentary over your games or even my games. Just tell me which games you want to see.
Yeah, do that.
All right. That's all I had to say.
All right. Well, I guess that's it. Good night.
Good night. Ozzy After Dark coming to Patreon. Good night, guys.
Peace out.
Bye.
Bye.